I don't think Osama bin Laden sent those planes in to attack us because he hated our freedom. I think he did it because of our support for Israel and our ties with the Saudi family and all our military bases in Saudi Arabia. You know why I think that? Because that's what he fucking said. Are we a nation of six-year-olds? Answer, yes. God damn it. Why did the bad man put the plane in the building? I said he hated freedom. Because I went to the NexusLexis database and there's over 1,400 articles that actually explain why. Shh, he hated freedom. Have a cookie. Have a cookie. Get him in the backyard. Show him the outdoor pool. All right.
Hello, and welcome to the Bikecast. It is May 6th, 2010, and today I wanted to talk about the other of the two fundamental jobs of the state. The one we've been talking about in the last couple episodes, or maybe the last episode, the last amalgamated episode, is law, justice, arbitration, enforcement of contract, whatever you want to call it. And I think I made a fairly strong case, and I think it's fairly easy to make a very strong case, that the modern state, and in particular the United States, have done a shockingly bad job of providing the service. Of course, it is a tremendous and valuable service to a very small privileged elite and the corporations they own and direct. But in any case, as far as the service provided goes, a real bust of criminal proportions. The other very most basic service provided by a state, according to status, is the provision of defense from external foes. And the story we're told is that if we didn't have the defensive apparatus that we have in place today, we would be overwhelmed by evildoers seeking our destruction. And as I point out in a podcast and related blog post, this is a big lie, meaning it's a tool of propaganda meant to hide the actual truth, which is in fact the opposite of the big lie. The truth being that there is no threat to the security of the United States. There never has been a threat, except for those that are reactions to our imperialistic foreign policy and our gigantic death-dealing military apparatus. Even the briefest examination of the facts bears this out. Violent radicals come from occupied countries, and their targets are the military infrastructure and citizenry of the occupying country. This is irrefutable, irresistible, unalterable, and is laid bare upon examining any of the evidence related to the question. I think even more compelling and more disturbing is to approach the question using intuition. Chris Floyd from the Empire Burlesque, who is excellent on all of these topics, I do not miss a single one of his articles. He actually, coincidentally, wrote a piece today, and I saw a number of pieces related to this in the blogosphere. And the piece was essentially an analysis of the New York Times depiction of, I can't remember his name, the New York Times Square bomber guy. And the analysis, actually I might be getting mixed up with IOZ, I'll link to both of them. But the analysis was, why is it that the story of all of these terrorist guys is that they follow some arc that goes from, childhood, some sort of emotional traumas, and then radicalization at the hands of Islam one way or the other. And then due to, ultimately, his mental instability, he's convinced to carry out some crazy attack. Then the author asks, why is it an unspeakable position that this Pakistani-American may be reacting in quite a normal and understandable fashion to the occupation of his country of origin and the indiscriminate butchery of the people he may well consider to be his countrymen and religious brethren and sistren. Why is it unspeakable that these actions and those like them are political in nature and are precisely the sort of actions that we find noble in countless other contexts? The story of the young, well, it doesn't have to be young necessarily, but often young rebel who faces down the overwhelming odds, the overwhelming, unstoppable forces of evil, and deals a blow at the cost of his own life and his own freedom, is the very stuff of romantic fiction and of real life characters that are ennobled in our tellings of history. Put another way, and this one was definitely from Chris Floyd, Empire Burlesque, if you were to return home to find it had been destroyed and the body parts of your children were strewn up in the trees, or you watched your father beaten and marched off to a prison camp, isn't it tempting when you are offered a chance to strike at the people, the power structure that have wronged you and your family? And Chris Floyd continues and says, even for someone who is committed to nonviolence, the allure of revenge would be powerful. And the United States has inflicted hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of casualties in the last 20 years. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of parents and children and grandparents and uncles and aunts blown to pieces, put in camps, with their homes destroyed, their businesses burnt to the ground, humiliated, raped, tortured. It is absurd to pretend that we haven't decreased our security by orders of magnitude we can barely conceive of. So that's a brief, very brief analysis of the results of entrusting our quote-unquote defense to the state. What's the cost? How much do we pay for this fabulous service? How much do we pay to enjoy suicide bombers on the streets of the United States, planes flying into towers, and who knows what else in the future, as the tens of millions of victims, families of victims, relative of victims, children of victims, parents of victims, who knows how many, as they commit their lives to the fight against the empire of the United States. How much do we pay to live in such an environment? How much do we pay to be the subject of such a terrible empire? And the answer is, nobody even knows. Nobody even has a fucking idea how much wealth is being destroyed in the oceans of blood on the other side of the world. Hundreds of billions of dollars annually are just shoveled away for the effort. And that's just the money that is actually paid in taxes. Nobody has any clue how much debt has been accrued, how many additional dollars have been magicked into existence, devaluing the currency. And all of these financial misdeeds will soon be coming home to roost in the form of massive inflation, crushing debt for the joy of watching our political leaders march armies around the world, butchering peasants and serfs, burning cities, imprisoning, torturing, raping millions and millions of people who are just like you, just like me, who just want to get through the day, enjoy some simple pleasures. So I'm going to mark that as a fail as well. For those of you keeping score, fail on provision of law, fail on defense. Well, thank you for listening. I appreciate that it is a weighty, ponderous topic treated in a ponderous manner. If you have any questions or comments, please stop by jaddavis.com, jaddavis.com, and leave them there. I will read them, I will consider them, and I really appreciate it. Thanks for listening, and until next time, take care.